Much grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Text for this morning's message is our New Testament reading from Revelation 7, and we're focusing on these verses. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Will you join me in prayer? Lord God, Heavenly Father, again, how wonderful it is to gather in person or online to hear your word, the word of your Son, Jesus, and his love and grace to us. May your Holy Spirit use this word to produce faith in our hearts, and may it flow out in lives of love toward others. And we ask this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, another All Saints Sunday is upon us here in the church calendar. And I swear, every single time it rolls around, I don't know how to feel. I don't. Do I feel happy? Or do I feel sad? It kind of reminded me of a long time ago when I was actually a kid, and I witnessed the climactic ending of the movie The Karate Kid. Anybody remember that movie? All right. This was where, you know, Daniel LaRusso, he had been bullied, but then he had learned karate, and plug your ears, I'm about to give the ending away if you haven't seen it. He is now fighting his nemesis, Johnny, and it's just the final thing. It looks like he's beaten, and then all of a sudden, bam, he wins. Yes, happy ending. And I burst into tears. I started crying horribly. My parents were like, whoa, what's going on? You all right? I was just so happy. And I thought about it, and I thought, well, it was because of everything that he had gone through right up to that point, and finally, when he won, it was like suddenly I let all that sadness, all that sorrow over what he had gone through just out, and that's why I cried. See, the same thing is with All Saints Sunday. We're happy, right? We are. We're overjoyed that our loved ones who have died in the faith are now resting from their labors, and they are awaiting the resurrection before Jesus in heaven forever. But I'm also sad. Sad because we're still here living our life here on earth, and they're gone. And we have to face life without them. Great sorrow. And I actually get that reaction every single time I come to this text here in Revelation 7. And it starts out great. Starts out with John giving us this wonderful vision of heaven that makes us overjoyed. You know, it starts off with this great multitude that no one could number, every nation, tribe, peoples, and language. I mean, more than the sands on the seashore, the stars in the sky. That's how awesome this is. And then they're shouting this hymn of praise. You know, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor. And that just keeps going on, and they're shouting these praises. And they're all standing in these white robes that have been actually made completely pure and clean through the blood of the Lamb. Incredible. And then there is their existence in heaven. They're before the throne of God. He shelters them with his presence. There's no more hunger, no more thirst, no more scorching heat. The Lamb is shepherding them. And God is wiping away every tear from their eyes. What a vision of heaven that John got to see and that he presents for us. It's awesome. And it's sad. Because we are still living our life here on earth, full of tribulations and tears. Oh, life is full of tribulations, and you know it, and I know it. How many months are we in this pandemic? How many months have we been wearing masks and we can't even like approach people? We have to social distance. How many months has this virus been running around all over the globe? Oh, and don't forget our nation, our beloved United States of America, that's not united, really. It just isn't. You know, there's so much division out there, and even within own families, people are shouting at each other. And who knows what's going to happen this coming Tuesday? I don't know. We know we'll have a president, but I don't know what else we'll have. Life is full of tribulations, right? People are still hungry. People are still in poverty. There's some who don't even know where they're going to get their next meal from. People are still thirsty. There are still people in this planet that they don't have clean drinking water that we take for granted. We just turn on a tap and it's there. No. They actually have to hike miles sometimes each day in order to just get water to drink. And some don't even have clean drinking water at all. They just have to make do with what they have. And yeah, some still have to deal with the scorching heat from our own sun that causes wildfires, maybe. Got to deal with that heat. Or droughts. No food, nothing to eat there. Yeah, life is full of tribulations. And there's some that we all know we're going through. The physical aches and pains and disease, cancer, diabetes, COPD, heart disease, and it list goes on and on and on and on. And then there's relational strife, you know, gossip and abuse, people using power over against each other in a wrong way. And then there's loneliness. Oh yeah, people who are alone, and not just because we have to social distance. No, you can be alone even in a crowd because you feel rejected. Because you feel they don't want you. Oh yeah. And then there's, of course, the constant specter of death, whether from a horrible car accident or an invisible virus. But then there's tribulations that only you and I go through as the children of God. You know, the struggle with our sin daily. We know the good that we need to do, and yet there's sin right there with us, alongside us, and sometimes overpowering us. And then there's the attacks on our faith. We as Christians here in North America have been shoved to the side. Keep your faith private. Don't even bring it out here. And when we try to do it like God wants us to, we get mocked, we get ridiculed, or dismissed. And then there's the ongoing guilt and shame that just weighs us down. We're so tired of the burden of living life as a follower of Jesus Christ in this day and age. Brothers and sisters in Christ, let's face it. Life is hard. It hurts. Tears are shed. But is that all, right? Is that all this life is? You know, it's just, okay, let's hunker down, let's ride out the storm until we die, and then this vision that John gives us here in Revelation will finally become reality. Is that what we're supposed to do? This vision of heaven in Revelation 7 has actually captured the imaginations of many artists throughout history, and I want to show you just a few of these. Let's see if I can get these up there. Yeah, there's one. You know, there's the multitude in white robes, there's the Lamb, there's the Father, and there's John looking at this incredible scene, right? Here's another one. And then this has, you know, the Lamb on the altar, there's the angels, the four creatures, and the multitudes. But are you seeing something that I see whenever I look at this? This is a vision of heaven. And yet look how earthly it is. You know, that you see trees in the background, you see grass, you know, there's people wearing clothes, they have flesh and blood on them. Here's another one. You know, this is a heavenly vision, but there's clouds right there. There's a fabric, a tent over Jesus. you can actually still see the fur on the lamb. And everyone's wearing white robes because, you know, it's made out of cloth. You know, every single one of these pictures is supposed to show this vision of heaven that we've never seen. And yet, when you look at them, they're so earthly. They're so down to earth. In fact, it looks like heaven has come down to earth. You see, before John gives us this vision of heaven, he actually gives us a vision of heaven on earth that begins when God himself comes down among us, dwells among us, tabernacles among us, sets up a tent and moves into the neighborhood. The Word becomes flesh and dwells among us, and we have seen his glory. And look at that glorious life that he lives, a life full of tribulation and tears. The tribulations that the Son of God in the flesh lived, people rejected him as their coming Messiah. They mocked him. They ridiculed him. They did not have much faith in him. And he shed tears. He shed tears over Jerusalem, who he knew was going to be destroyed because they rejected him. And he shed tears at the tomb of Lazarus because of what Satan had done to his good creation. And then Jesus goes through the great tribulation of his life, where he is beaten, he is flogged, a crown of thorns is pressed into his scalp, a beam, a heavy wooden beam, is laid on his flayed back, and he is forced to carry it all the way to the place of the skull. And it's there he ascends his throne, a cross, where he is crucified. And all of our tribulation, all of our tears, all of our sins are placed on his back. But as he is hanging there, bleeding and dying, Jesus has a heavenly vision, a vision where death is not the end, but he rises again and death no longer has dominion over him. A heavenly vision where he brings salvation to a world that desperately needs it. A heavenly vision that is the end of all tribulation and all tears. And this vision becomes reality when Jesus steps out of the tomb 3 days later, when 40 days after that, he ascends into heaven and rules over all things, and then he pours out his Holy Spirit onto a world full of strife, full of sin, full of tribulation, full of tears. And it's when Jesus brings this vision of heaven to you, to me, right here, right now, in our life here on earth, in the midst of all of our tribulations and tears. He brings it in baptism. That's when he takes your dirty, filthy, sinful robes and he plunges them into his blood and pulls them out white, pure, holy, and righteous, free from sin, free from death itself. He brings it when he is present with us in his word of promise, when he is present with us in his holy supper, when he is present with us in his people, praying for one another, encouraging one another. And even though we go through this life of tribulation and tears, we are standing before the throne. We are worshiping him right now. We are shouting out a hymn of praise because Jesus is with us right now, feeding us the bread of life himself, leading us to rivers of living water, his Holy Spirit, and sheltering us from the intense heat of this life with his crucified and risen flesh and blood as he guides us and leads us through every single tribulation that we go through with his mercy, his grace, and his peace. And when he ends up wiping away every single tear, even now, that is caused by all the physical pain, all the isolation, all the rejection, even death itself, because we trust that one day that vision will become reality. And we'll neither hunger nor thirst nor bear any scorching heat. In fact, we won't go through any more tribulations at all. And he will wipe away every single last tear, because there won't be anything left to cry about. That's the vision of heaven that Jesus brings to us right here, children of God. And yet, John says that this is a multitude that no one can number, and you are among them, and there is always room for one more. Do you know someone that needs this vision of heaven for their life on earth? Do you know someone that is going through tribulations of any kind? Physical, relational, mental, emotional, even spiritual. Do you know anyone that is shedding tears because they're sick, because they're lonely, because they've lost a loved one? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I simply encourage you to have them look, behold, at this vision of heaven that Jesus gives to them, where he is with them, where he is guiding and leading them, and he is wiping away every single one of their tears, even as they start to fall. So, what do you think? Should we be happy or sad on All Saints Sunday? Should we be shouting praise? Or should we be shedding tears? Well, it's not an either or answer, it's a both and. We do rejoice. We do rejoice that those who have died in the faith, no more tribulation, no more tears, they are before the throne of the Lamb, and they are shouting praises of his salvation that we even have right now. And yet, we rejoice even as we continue to suffer in this life, even as we go through tribulations, even as we shed many tears. But that's why Jesus gives us this vision of heaven that will one day be a reality. And there'll be nothing left to be sad about. We will only be rejoicing, shouting praises, because Jesus will wipe away the last tear from every single eye. Amen.